Then they led Jesus off to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the high priest's courtyard, where he found a seat with the temple guard and began to warm himself at the fire. The chief priests with the whole Sanhedrin were busy soliciting testimony against Jesus that would lead to his death, but they could not find any. Many spoke against him falsely under oath, but their testimony did not agree. Some, for instance, on taking the stand, testified falsely by alleging,
"We heard him declare, 'I will destroy this temple made by human hands, and in 3 days I will construct another not made by human hands.'"
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose to his feet before the court and began to interrogate Jesus.
"Have you no answer to what these men testify against you?"
But Jesus remained silent. He made no reply. Once again, the high priest interrogated him.
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
At that, the high priest tore his robes.
"What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
They all concurred in the verdict, guilty, with its sentence of death. Some of them began to spit on Jesus. They blindfolded him and hit him, while the officer manhandled him, saying,
"Way the prophet!"
While Peter was down in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came along. When she noticed Peter warming himself, she looked more closely at him and said,
"You too were with Jesus of Nazareth."
"I do not know what you're talking about. What are you getting at?"
Then he went out into the gateway. At that moment, a cock crowed. The servant girl, keeping an eye on him, started again to tell the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
Once again, he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
"You are certainly one of them. You are a Galilean, are you not?"
He began to curse and to swear.
I do not even know the man you were talking about.
Just then, a second cock crow was heard, and Peter recalled the prediction Jesus had made to him. "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and began to cry. As soon as it was daybreak, the chief priests with the elders and scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate interrogated him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
You are the one who is saying it. The chief priests, meanwhile, brought many accusations against him. Pilate interrogated him again.
Surely you have some answer. See how many accusations they are leveling against you?
But greatly to Pilate's surprise, Jesus made no further response. Now, on the occasion of a festival, he would release for them one prisoner, any man they asked for. There was a prisoner named Barabbas, jailed along with rebels, who had committed murder in the uprising. When the crowd came up to press their demand that he honor the custom, Pilate rejoined them.
Do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?
He was aware, of course, that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. Meanwhile, the chief priests incited the crowd to have him release Barabbas instead. Pilate again asked them,
what am I to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?
Crucify him!
Pilate protested.
Why? What crime has he committed?
They only shouted the louder.
Crucify him!
So Pilate, who wished to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers now led Jesus away into the hall known as the Praetorium. At the same time, they assembled the whole cohort. They dressed him in royal purple, then wove a crown of thorns and put it on him, and began to salute him.
All hail, King of the Jews!
nearly striking Jesus on the head with a reed and spitting at him, they bowed before him and pretended to pay him homage. When they had finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. A man named Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was coming in from the fields, and they pressed him into service to carry the cross. When they brought Jesus to the site of Golgotha, which means skull place, they tried to give him wine drugged with myrrh, but he would not take it. Then they crucified him and divided up his clothes by rolling dice for them to see what each should take. It was about 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription proclaiming his offense read, "The King of the Jews." With him, they crucified 2 insurgents, one at his right and one at his left. People going by kept insulting him, tossing their heads and saying,
"Aha! So you're going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself now by coming down from the cross."
The chief priests and the scribes also joined in and jeered.
"He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross here and now, so that we can see it and believe in him."
The man who had been crucified with him likewise kept taunting him. When noon came, darkness fell on the whole countryside and lasted until mid-afternoon. At that time, Jesus cried in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
A few of the bystanders who heard it remarked,
"Listen, he is calling on Elijah."
Someone ran off and, soaking a sponge in sour wine, stuck it on a reed to try to make him drink. The man said,
"Now let us see whether Elijah comes down to take him down."
Then Jesus, uttering a loud cry, breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The centurion who stood guard over him, on seeing the manner of his death, declared,
"Clearly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women present, looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger, and Joseph, and Salome. These women had followed Jesus when he was in Galilee and attended to his needs. There were also many others who had come up with him to Jerusalem. As it grew dark, it was preparation day, that is, the eve of the Sabbath, Joseph from Arimathea arrived, a distinguished member of the Sanhedrin. He was another who looked forward to the reign of God. He was bold enough to seek an audience with Pilate and urgently requested the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised that Jesus should have died so soon. He summoned the centurion and inquired whether Jesus was already dead. Learning from him that he was dead, Pilate released the corpse to Joseph. Then, having brought a linen shroud, Joseph took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a tomb which had been cut out of rock. Finally, he rolled a stone across the entrance of the tomb. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he had been laid.
Lord, I need your power.
happened. From the waving of palm branches in joy and triumph on Sunday, to the days following when he overturned tables in the temple, it was well with Jesus' soul. When he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, "Lord, take this cup from me," it was well with his soul. When they dragged him away to the Sanhedrin, it was well with his soul. When they put him on the cross, it was well with his soul. When he breathed his last, it was well with his soul. And when there was nothing but ashes left, it was well with his soul. I invite you to a week of holy observance this week, joining us on Thursday, and then on Sunday, when somehow mystically the tomb is empty and the resurrection guarantees our eternal life. And it is well with our soul. Now go from this place with the peace of the triumphant Christ, the peace of the dying Christ, the peace of the buried Christ, and the peace of the jubilant and risen Christ. Amen.